Happy Sabbath, everybody. Oh, I'm not sure what happened there. Let's try it again. Happy Sabbath, everybody. God is good. And all the time, God is. And then sometimes, I forget what it is, but I'll have to remember it because I can't remember it. But usually you'd say something and then you'd say, God is awesome. And does anyone know how to reply to that? So you say, God is awesome, and then you say and respond, you better tell somebody, all right? So here we go. God is good all the time. God is awesome. Oh, no one's really telling. Let's come on, family. Here we go. God is good and all the time. God is awesome. Oh, I love that. Yes. Okay, I feel like I haven't been here for a while. Is that true? Yeah. So you're looking at a stranger again, aren't you? We keep, it's the cycle of starting again. And so we have to keep, hello, how are you? What's your name? Good. So it always starts at that beginning. But I tell you, it's so good to be here. I feel like I shared, it feels like it's been a long time. So I think it's been a couple of months. Would that be correct? So in that time, I had the privilege of taking my mom, because it was her 70th birthday this year, got to take her to Samoa. So I got to have a nice tan, but because I came back to Melbourne, my tan's already faded, so I'm not too happy about that. But praise God that even though we've been able to just go through our things, I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to be able to come back and worship together. So on that note, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for just being an amazing God. We thank you for this time of worship that allows us to learn who it is that we need to rest in. And so whatever it is that we've come with today, we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit will remind us of who it is that we need to find true rest in as we continue the journey with you alongside us. We pray for your Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and our minds. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our title for the next 3 weeks is What in the World is Going On? I don't have my screen displayed because I thought I had, but it looks like it's not coming up. No? Is that coming up? No? What in the world is going on with my laptop and the connection that's happening? No, that's okay. But the title that our pastoral team is going to be, well, the theme that we're going to be exploring for the next 3 weeks is what in the world is going on? Now, in our world today, there's so many things that are happening that brings us to a point that we have to ask the question, what is going on? And so, church family, what I want you to do is, this is an interactive, short interactive section. What I want you to do is I want you to share with me some of the things that you're seeing in our world today, whether it's on your social media, whether it's on the news, when you watch the news, what's happening in our world today? Let's go, family. Crime? Did I hear crime? Crime, is that on the decrease or on the rise? Increase. It's increasing. Give me something else. So we've got crime, anything else? We've got war. And it's not just one war. Now we're starting to see that there are other countries that are now being impacted by war. That was Lebanon, I think, only last week. And we're starting to see, like, it's continuing to happen. Anything else? We've got earthquakes that are happening. Whilst the war is happening in another part of the world, you've got earthquakes going on. Anything else? We've got hurricanes. Someone else said something. Yes, we've got hurricanes happening. Flooding happening. What else? genocide happening. We've still got starvation on the rise, which means that there is a lack of food. What else do we have, family?
Human trafficking.
Human trafficking. Let's go. Bring it out, family. What else is happening?
U.S. election.
U.S. election. Everybody. No, we'll just leave it at that. U.S. election. Anything else?
Denial of God.
Yes. What else, family? Inflation causing a lot of disturbance within the units of families and what it's going to look like in the future. No one knows. Anything else?
Self-truth.
What was that?
Self-truths.
Self-truths, revelation or not, depending on how you look at it, yes, and how you interpret it. Cool. Yes. Anything else?
Censorship.
Of so many things, so there's a freedom of speech to be able to express openly is now no longer the case with many things on our socials or media outlets. Anything else, family?
Homelessness
is on the increase. Does anyone know who is represented the most when it comes to homelessness? What age group and what gender? It's senior women. They're finding themselves, there's a lot more women over 50 who are now making it in this bracket of homelessness. This is the reality of what we're dealing with. And so, church family, this is something that we ourselves have at times turned a blind eye or just turned away from because we thought it was elsewhere. But the reality is, if I was to ask the question, there are some of us who are dealing with some of the things that we have revealed today. And sometimes when it gets revealed, it's too close to home. So therefore, why would I want to deal with it? But the reality is, in some way, whenever it's going to be, you need to deal with it. Because if you don't, you sweep it under the rug and you play as if everything is okay, but in reality it isn't. And so these are the different things that are constantly plaguing us today and have been for a long time. And so what do we do with this? Because when you deal with all these different issues of what is happening in the world, the tension of what is happening in our families, in our communities, in individual lives is growing to the point where it feels like it's at a tension point where you feel like you're gonna break. And if that is the case, then the reality is, what is going on in this world? What hope do we have in this world if that is the case with all our situations? What is there to offer if this is all we have? And so I've broken the sermon into three parts. And the first area that we're going to look at is revealing what the issue is. And so what I want you to do is I want our church to turn to Matthew 24. Let's have a look. You can either do Matthew 24. If you're looking at Luke chapter, does anyone know what chapter? Luke 21, have a look at that one. And then if you're looking at Mark, but they're all going to say it slightly different, but pretty much everything is kind of in those books. So if you're looking at Mark, it's Mark chapter, does anyone know? Mark 13. So Mark 13, Matthew 24, Luke 21. So let's have a look. I'm going to be following specifically Matthew 24. And so as you read this, the issue that needs to be established, because now we've seen that there's issues in the world. Is that making sense? There's all these different things that are happening that cause these types of questions to then come up to the ultimate question, which is, what in the world is going on? And so when I first heard the title, when we looked at the title, there were two songs that came to mind. The first one, do you want to guess? What's Going On by Marvin Gaye? And it's looking at this idea, not the idea, but it's looking at the world around him and talking about what's actually going on, not knowing how to deal with all the stuff that's going. And the other song that came to mind was John Mayer's Waiting on the World to Change. Because in reality, as the question is posed about all the things that are building in this tension called the issues that we see surrounding us, the reality is many are waiting for something to change. Many are waiting for some sort of an answer to bring about a change because they can't deal with the stuff that they are seeing not only in front of them, but also internally within them. And so here, what we're setting up now as we move into this first step is revealing the issues that Scripture is going to reveal for us that has been for many centuries. When we look at Matthew 24, we're going to go through this, and I'm only listing a number of maybe 12, but you're going to see them all in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. And it says this, "For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will mislead people. 2, and you'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be alarmed, for this must take place, but it's not the end. 3, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. 4, famines, earthquakes, these are merely the beginning of birth pains. 5, they will hand you over to tribulation and kill you. 6, you will be hated by all nations because of my name. 7, that time many will fall away and they will betray one another and hate one another." Break that one down. Families will betray each other. People will be put to death. 8, false prophets will rise up and mislead many people. 9, lawlessness will increase. 10, most people's love will grow cold or become cold. 11, perilous times. And 12, persecution. This is what Jesus said in Scripture, revealing not only what was going to happen not long after he left, but revealing what was going to happen on a continuous basis. And so if you're looking to see and identify the things and the issues that are happening in our world today, Matthew 24 says it. But why, my question to our church is, why has this now become an issue that has overtaken us? And I want to confront this on its head, because one of the challenges that we have when we read scriptures, you can take it, but if it doesn't apply to you, if an issue is not impacting you, then you're going to place it on the side and you're not going to deal with it. Therefore, your ability to empathize and sympathize with other people is difficult because you haven't been able to deal with it, let alone look at who it is that you need to be giving a lot of these issues to. Does that make sense, family? And so when we look at our list again, "For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will mislead people." My question to our church is this happening now? It's happening now. There are so many examples of what you see where many people are coming in the name of Christ, and they have a massive, not a small following, they have a massive following. But yet people are still misled in this way to follow someone who says that they are Christ. 2, "And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be alarmed, for this must take place, but it's not the end." Are there wars happening now? They're happening all, and they have been for a long period of time. This is what Jesus is saying in Scripture. It's going to happen. 3, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom." Is that happening now? Constantly, it's an ongoing battle. Famines and earthquakes, it's been revealed that there are famines and earthquakes. And when looking at Adra and the food pantries, the increase of people that are needing help, it's no longer people who are struggling and on with the healthcare card, which is a low income. It's people that actually have two jobs. I mean, the part, the husband and the wife, they both have a job and they're struggling to pay the mortgage. And when they actually pay the mortgage, they can't afford food. And we have had many people even coming to North Point Food Pantry that come and they struggle to even come through the doors. And the reason why they struggle to come through the doors, because of how shameful it is that they are now coming to access services of food relief. And people might say, oh, well, they should just come because... No. It's so much deeper than that. But this is the reality of what we are dealing with when we see what's going on in our community. This is the troublesome issues that we are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Then you've got, they will hand you over to tribulation and kill you. Does anyone know if this is happening now? If you look at a resource online called Open Doors. Has anyone heard of Open Doors? Open Doors is where you can go in and you can find out where persecution is happening in our world today. There's so many countries that are that you'll find Christians who are being persecuted or for believing in the name of Christ. Now, you and I can sit here and be comfortable that we have the freedom to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth, that freedom. But those who are in countries that persecution is high, if they find out that you're a Christian, not only are you going to be persecuted, not only could you be put to death or sent to prison, it's not just you, it's your family. But yet, we take these things for granted because it doesn't impact us. And these are the realities that we need to realize when it comes to being a Christian, something has got to change. But we live with a truth that isn't truthful enough because we struggle to let the truth impact us. So we continue, you will be hated by all nations because of my name. These countries, as soon as Jesus' name is uttered, man, they are persecuted and they could even be like executed. That's how bad it is in these other countries. And praise God that we have the freedom to be able to have worship in this way. But our brothers and sisters in the extended body of Christ, this is not their experience. There are times where people are going to fall away and they are going to betray each other. That is happening. It's happening not only in our countries where Christians are being persecuted, it's also happening here in Australia, where if they find out that you are a Christian and you've come from a Muslim faith or Islamic faith, they will hunt you. And they can execute you because of what their belief is when it comes to leaving the Islamic faith. This is the reality of what we are dealing with, our church. And so you continue, many false prophets will rise up and mislead people. There is a lot of that going on. The thing is, when someone stands in front and is preaching, it is your responsibility to check out what they're saying. Let me say that again. If someone is standing in the front here, including me, when they stand here, it is your responsibility as a Christian to be able to research and find out whether the person is standing up here is saying the correct thing. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Don't just take the word for what it is. Search and get into the word yourself to find out what it means, what it says, so that way you can take the application for yourself. Amen. Lawlessness will increase. Are we seeing that in our day today? It's ripe. It is ripe. And here's the thing that was confronting for me. This other one. I'll read the other one. You've got perilous times, persecution. But this one, most people's love will grow cold or become cold. That was confronting for me when I read this a number of years ago. And here's the reason why. Is because your love, whatever experience you end up having, could in fact create a coldness towards whoever the object of that is towards. Does that make sense? And so here, what this is saying, what Jesus is saying, is that if your love grows cold, who is the source of love? So if God is the source of love, if it says in 1 John that God is love, and it's saying it here, Jesus warning, most people's love will grow cold. My fear is that if Jesus is saying this, the absence of God is going to be present. Because if love grows cold, the source of love is going to be absent. Therefore, people are not going to be engaging in this God who is love, who can teach love, but they've become someone who thinks they can do it on their own. That's scary, because here's the reality is that as Christians, this is something that each of us are going to be challenged with. Because when you go through things, when experiences hurt, when things happen, it can create a coldness within our own hearts about the very issues that are happening. Does that make sense? And so the reality is when we look at Matthew 24, Matthew 24 is revealing the realities of what our world is going through. But here's where I want to take our family as a reminder. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. And it says this. God knows, this is the serpent talking. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like who? You will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Here is the biggest lie that we have been sold for centuries. This lie is that you and I know more than God. And for many of our situations right across our lives, we have become accustomed to taking control because we think we know better about our situation. But that is the biggest lie. Because the reality of you thinking that you've got it in control, you don't have it in control. And so we take on this position of, I'm going to get myself through this, I'm going to do this. But you can't, because in Genesis, the lie that was sold is that you can figure it out. You know what's good. You know what's evil. So you've got it. Because here's the thing. When you know good and evil, as Satan has shared, the serpent has shared, you will become like who? So you become God in your own situation, thinking that you have control, that you've got it happening in your restricted, whatever it might be. But the reality is, all of these things, which I call assaults, they leak. They leak out of you and I. Therefore, the reality is we need someone who knows so much more than what you and I will ever know. And so here's the second part. So we've looked at the first part, which is the issues, and I've titled it issues because what I want to place next to this word issue is this is what it looks like when Satan's kingdom is on display. Did you catch that? This is what it looks like when Satan's kingdom is on display. All the things that we read through in Matthew 24, that's what it looks like when you want to place Satan in charge. The disruptions that happen time and time again are not just happening out in the world. They're happening within our lives, within our community, within our church. And this is what it looks like when we want to give Satan the opportunity to be the one who reigns. This is him on display. And when I look at that list and when I look at all the different things that are happening, I don't want him. So therefore, the question then gets posed, what other option do we have? And so number two, before we get to the third one, is complacency. We become complacent, and Scripture reveals this about us. So not only do we have Satan selling us the biggest lie of all time, and it's revealed in Matthew 24 and the other Gospels what it looks like when Satan is in charge of everything. The problem is when we move into the second one, there's a complacency on mine and your part. And what does it look like? What is Scripture revealing? It says this. We're hard of hearing. Hang on, let me say it again. We are hard of hearing. What else does Scripture say? There's a stubbornness of the heart. What else does Scripture say? We're lukewarm. What else does Scripture say? There's a confidence in our own understanding and knowledge. There's a lot of resistance, and that is why we become complacent. But here's the biggest complacency that was revealed in reading Matthew 24, verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will provide great signs and wonders so as to mislead. But if possible, if possible, even the elect could be deceived. What does that tell you? You and I are not secure in our ability to trust ourselves, because when you look at the word deception, deception means it's happening and you don't even know it. But Scripture, Jesus is saying that if possible, you and I could be what? Deceived. And so what does that reveal is that we have a complacency based on the lie that was revealed and that we have carried on through centuries. We have the complacency and the tendency to rely on ourselves. And therefore, even if you've been a Christian for years, you can't rely on that family. You cannot rely on that, because if Scripture is saying that you can be deceived, we have susceptibilities of being deceived as a human being. And so with that complacency, even though that's been revealed and we've seen that list of the different assaults of what it looks like when Satan is reigning in that kingdom, the third one, there's got to be hope. There's got to be hope. It's kind of like the kettle when you boil the kettle. It's like, and a lot of the times, that's how we operate. No one's turning off the kettle, but it's, something's going to break soon. And so if you want a visual, if you want something to hear, a lot of the times that's how we operate. The kettle is boiling because we're trying to take control. We're trying to keep it refined to us controlling our situation. But the reality is, and it leaks. It leaks. And it impacts people around you, and it impacts whoever it is. And so it's kind of like this ticking bomb that's ready to explode whenever it gets the chance. So there's got to be hope. But what that means is that if it's hope for the world, it has to be a practical application for you to find hope. Because if you don't experience hope, but you're busy telling everybody about hope, there's no practical from here, the head knowledge, to what it is that you can experience with God. There's got to be hope, family. And the only hope is the one who comes and turns off the kettle. And there's only one person that can really do that. And that's truly God. In verses such as Philippians 3, verse 10 to 11, it says this, and I love this. I'm starting at verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss because of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them mere rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That I may know, this is the hope, this is the only difference, and this is the only key, that I may know, that I may know, him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, the hope and the only hope is in Christ Jesus himself. And if you can't take the good news of who Jesus is, then the question is, what are you giving the world who is crying out, what is going on in this world? Because if you've got nothing else to offer, then you've got no hope to offer them who are boiling kettles, longing for someone to turn off all the boiling points that they are taking in, thinking that they are in control of their situations, but in reality, they are not. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. It's him. It's him. Only Jesus. Only him. Only Jesus. Only him. That is the answer. That is the solution to a world that is crying out for something. And if you can't take that and share it with the world, the question you need to ask yourself is, how is Jesus in your life? Because if Jesus is someone that is not a game changer for you, if Jesus is someone that is not a transformative person in your life, then you're not going to be able to offer the goodness of what your experience is with other people who are longing for the answer that you have, but you haven't been able to experience it yourself, because you are caught up in trying to manage it yourself. The reality is, we have a Savior. And that's why it's good news. So if there is a Savior, that means we need saving. We need help. But the one who can help us seems to be the one that we don't go to. Because when he helps us, the beautiful thing about what I love is when he helps me, he helps those who are around me. When he helps you, he helps those who are around you. That is what God is needing for us to be able to impact the world who is craving God, because everybody is feeling this tension that continues to grow, not only inside of them, but within their families and their communities. So if the question is, what is going on in the world today? Family, what do you have to offer? What do you have to offer? If there's a situation that is happening in your life, within your family, what advice are you giving yourself or giving your family? Is it centered on you, or is it centered on the one who is the only one that can provide hope and healing to a world that is so longing for it? We're not just here to fill pews. I'm going to say that we're not just here to fill pews. This is not the end story. We are here because we're coming here to be encouraged, to fellowship, to share, because there is a world outside here in our community who is longing to hear the very things that you yourselves have the ability to carry in jars of clay. These treasures, these words of hope that people are longing for, but you're holding on to it because you haven't experienced it yourself. So what do you have to offer to a world that is asking the question, what's going on? So what is your answer, family? Because if it's anything but Christ, reassess your answer. Because God is the same today, is the same yesterday, and is the same forever. The issues of humanity are going to still impact the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. What are you passing on that is able to consistently provide hope to all generations that are to come? The answer has to be only Jesus. And that's why we build our hope on Him. Nothing more, nothing less. Because everything else is about what He does. And that's why He's so good. So when I ask you, God is good, what do you say? All the time, because all the time becomes your response from your experience of how good God is. But remember, He's the only answer that can help with the many issues that we are plagued with today. Jesus is the answer for 2024. He was the answer in the 1800s. He was the answer when His disciples were here on earth. He will continue to be the answer because Jesus is the only answer. And that's who we base our hope in. God is good all the time. God is good.